Prophets Bible study. I'm going to do a very, 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 very simple Bible study today on demonology. Excuse me, I'm a little bit stuffy today, but I want to study demonology 101 here today. Okay? This is a difficult subject to teach. And it's somewhat of an unpopular subject to teach, but it's so very vital and very important in the church and in the body of Christ. It's a difficult subject to teach in that a lot of pastors, first of all, no longer believe that Satan or his kingdom is relevant in today's church, but we all, of course, at Miracle Arena know that that is not the case. A lot of people don't like to talk about demons, deliverance, Satan, and Lucifer for the simple fact that they don't want to draw unnecessary attention to themselves. When you teach on things like this, it opens a lot of warfare for your own life, and it can cause a lot of difficulties when you deal with these types of things. A lot of spirits of retaliation. So a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that. And also, it is Satan's goal that people deny his existence anyway. Because if you don't acknowledge him, you don't deal with him. And if you don't deal with him, then he has complete rule and rank over you. You understand? If I was Satan, I would deny my existence too. Because then he has free rule and reign in the churches. Okay? But we're going to deal with that spirit today. Amen. I want to start by reading Isaiah chapter 14. I have a few scriptures to read today. Just to give us a little bit of a background into who this Lucifer is. Isaiah chapter 14. I'll begin in verse 12. Jackie, are you here? Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. When you have it, say amen.
Amen. And we read, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Mm-hmm. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into
heaven." I will ascend, okay.
"I will exalt
my throne. I will exalt
above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High."
Be like the Most High. Father, I need your covering. I need your strength. I need your word and your grace. I pray that you teach us today. Teach me as you teach your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's about 7 times that Lucifer says in this scripture, "I will," because he is the center of it all. It's always been about him. And his goal has always been to gain rank and authority from the beginning. He said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne." So that means that Lucifer, as an archangel, had a throne in heaven. And the thing that is very important is the last verse that we read where he said, "I will be like the Most High." Okay, so a characteristic of Satan is to always be like God, but he can never attain to the glory of God. Satan is a counterfeit. Somebody say counterfeit. He's a copycat. So everything he does is like God, but he can never get to the rank of God. The Bible says you're enemy walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's like a lion, but he's not the lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you understand? So he always wants to be like God. So Satan's goal is to be worshipped. Okay? He wants the worship, and he wants the attention. And he said, I will be like the Most High. So what we should recognize is his desire was to never be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He was never interested in being Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He didn't want to be Jehovah Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He wanted to be the Most High. That's it. He wanted to be the highest of the heights. So Satan's goal is and always was to be number one. That's why God despises pride above all else. The Bible says iniquity was found in the heart of Lucifer, which caused him. The Bible says pride was found in him, and then he fell. So when we walk in pride, we walk after the nature of Lucifer. That's why the humble is exalted, but the exalted is humbled. God is in enmity. He is against pride because it is a representation of what he despises, Lucifer. When we seek the best places in the church, when we seek the best rank, it's because we want to be like the Most High. And God will come second to none. You understand? Okay. So I want us to understand something about demons and demonology and casting out demons. It is not something that can be done through philosophy or theology. I am yet to find a Bible school that can teach you how to cast out a demon. You can learn a lot of theology and you can learn a lot of Bible, but to find a school that can actually teach you how to deal with a demon or a devil is very hard to find. The devil does not respond to education. He does not respond to the amount of time you've been in church or how many services you go to. He doesn't respond to title. He responds to one thing: power, rank, and authority. The more you pray, the more you fast, the more you grow in the word, the more powerful you become, and the easier it is for demons to respond to you. First thing we have to take note of is that dealing with demons was as normal to preaching, it was as normal to Jesus as preaching. Okay? Dealing with demons was as normal to Jesus as preaching. Mark chapter 1, verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, and he cast out devils. So it was a part of the ministry of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how Jesus went about doing good, being full of the power and of the Holy Ghost, and he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus could be teaching one minute, casting out a demon the next minute, healing somebody another minute, and rebuking somebody the next. So it should be natural to every ministry. Every church should have a deliverance ministry. And if you are in a church that does not have a deliverance ministry, either go to your pastor and request that one get started or find a church that does. Because if a church does not have a deliverance ministry, we're going to look at this in the scripture, but you can't tell me that demons don't come into the churches. And you can't tell me that demon-possessed people don't come into the churches every single day. So if you don't have a deliverance ministry, then these people are not getting delivered from demons. So they're coming, and they're sitting there, and they're going home, and they're living their life, but they are oppressed of the devil. So every church should have a deliverance ministry. Okay, let's look at some scriptures here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. I could probably say I have studied no other subject other than salvation and maybe the Holy Ghost. I've studied no other subject the way that I have studied demons and deliverance. Matthew chapter 12. And let's begin in verse 26.
Amen. If Satan casts out Satan, mm-hmm. he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?
So hold on for a minute there. How then will his kingdom stand? Okay? So that means Satan has a kingdom. Are you following me? Satan has a kingdom. And his kingdom is standing, Jesus said. He said, then how can his kingdom stand? So his kingdom has not fallen. His kingdom is standing. Go ahead.
And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, mm-hmm. by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Mm-hmm. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God,
okay.
surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Mm-hmm. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man?
Bind the strong man.
And then he will plunder his house. Mm-hmm. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad.
Okay. Amen. Let me begin by explaining, first of all, my goal is to really talk about the strong man this morning if we have time. Okay? But I want to talk about what is a demon. Very, very simply and very clearly, a demon is a disembodied spirit, a fallen angel. That became as such pre-Adamically, meaning before Adam was created. So the fall of Lucifer, as we read in Isaiah chapter 14, the fall of Lucifer was before the creation of man. I know some of you know this, but there are people who don't, okay? So the fall of Lucifer and the fall of his angels was before the creation of man. Okay, the reason that they now seek a body, these are spirit angels who were the spirits who were once angels, now they are cast into the earth. Their sole purpose is to do evil on the earth. They need a body to do so. So they are looking for a body so that they can manifest their evil plan, so that they can manifest or hinder what God wants to do in mankind. Demonic influence serves to do two things. Number one, hinder the purposes of God. And now the devil has come having great wrath. Why? Because he knows his time is short. They have come to hinder the purposes of God. And number two, extend the authority of Satan on the earth. Sometimes in the scriptures, they are referred to as unclean spirits or foul spirits, but they are all the same thing. Demons are very intelligent in nature, incredibly intelligent. Satan, their leader, was once an archangel. I would love to, I'll do a study one day on angels and archangels and Lucifer and the actual rebellion and fall of Lucifer. So Satan is their chief general. He is one of the most powerful and intelligent creatures that God has ever created. There will never be a created creature as beautiful, intelligent, or powerful as Lucifer. Since that day, God has never created anything like him. Man's intelligence is nothing compared to Satan's intelligence. He's been doing this a long time, you have to understand. He knows the Bible better than you. He can quote it better than me. Okay, let's talk about the order of Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom deals with rank. He works with rank. He works in authority. I wish I had a chalkboard or something, okay? If you have a pen and paper, I want you to take it out. You have to, in order to understand demons, you have to understand their rank. You have to understand how they operate. So at the top of your paper, I want you to write Satan, Lucifer. He's the head, as we know. He is at the top of the chain. The prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. Now, those of you who say things like, you know, Satan visited me last night and things like that, he doesn't visit us small little ones. He visits the principalities. He visits the nation changers. He visits the Benny Hins. He doesn't waste his time with small little church members. He's too big for that. And remember, he's not omnipresent, right? So he doesn't have time to waste. That's why he has demons. He has minions to do his bidding. He is worried about the nation changers. He's worried about the people that will save the Muslims, save the Hindus. He's worried about the people who will have the huge mega churches where masses will run and cry on the altar of God. Very few people will ever be able to say that they have seen Satan themselves. And if you do, it's a scary thing. I've seen him once before. It's a very scary thing. I have a friend that Lucifer himself visited her. And the reason is because she is a nation changer. She lives in Sri Lanka. And I went to go preach there before. And she told me something. And when she told me this, I couldn't sleep for days. She said one day she was praying. And this woman, I'm telling you, she is saving souls in Sri Lanka. And she'll never be on TV. She'll never be known. But she is a mighty prophetess and a mighty woman of God. And she said one day she was reading her Bible. And she said Lucifer came in the room. And she said, you look in his eyes, and it's so true. When you look in his eyes, it's nothing but blackness. There's no love. There's no heart. There's nothing but evil in him. And he said to her, he said, you, what do you think you're doing? Now, when we picture Lucifer, we picture this red devil with a long pointy tail and two horns. That's not what he looks like. The Bible says he transforms himself into an angel of light. And he said to her, I'm watching you. I'm watching what you're doing. What do you think you're doing? And she said she had the Bible in her hand, and she turned away to open her Bible. She said he grabbed the Bible and he hit her over the neck with the Bible. And she said for 2 weeks, she couldn't even turn her neck. Wickedness and evil and very powerful and not a spirit you should ever deal with outside of the direction of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So at the top of the chain, there is the general, the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer. Now, Satan himself has three generals that operate under him. Three very powerful spirits. All other demons are subject to these three generals. They work closely with Satan, and they are very, very powerful in nature. Number one, the spirit of Jezebel. We'll talk a little bit about the spirit of Jezebel if we get time. Number two, the spirit of death and hell. Responsible for all murders, abortions, those kinds of things. And then number three, the spirit of Antichrist. Those are Satan's three top generals. Spirit of Jezebel, spirit of death and hell, and the spirit of Antichrist. Under the three generals, then you draw a line, an arrow down, and then you have principalities. Under principalities, draw an arrow down, then you have powers. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Remember. Powers. Under powers, you have ruler spirits. That's what I want to deal with today, the strong man. And under ruler spirits, you have spiritual wickedness in high places. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. I want to read it again. How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, in other words, or seize his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Okay. Somebody say, bind the strong man. Okay. Everybody has to deal with a stronghold in their life at some time, at some point. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian. If it's not something that you invited into your life, you could be dealing with a stronghold from your mother's side or from your father's side. For example, alcoholism. It's not something that you invited. It's not something that you necessarily have desired. But you wake up one day and you have a strong desire to drink alcohol. And you don't know where it's coming from. But you don't understand that your father was an alcoholic and your father's father was an alcoholic. Even if, this is how powerful a stronghold is, you've never met your father, that stronghold will still be there. Lust is a stronghold. Okay, let me come back to make sure I'm saying everything I need to say. There's a difference between a strong man and an evil spirit. A strong man has more power, rank, and authority than an evil spirit. Okay? The strong man has the rank. The strong man is the gatekeeper of the stronghold. So if, let's say, alcoholism is a problem in your household, the strong man of alcoholism will be the keeper of that stronghold. And all the other little demons that come with the strong man, he guards and makes sure they stay in your life. That's why Jesus said, deal with the strong man. He's telling us something. Deal with the strong man. Everything else will be taken care of. He said, if you seize his goods and you plunder his goods, he said, everything else will work out. Bind the strong man. Somebody say, bind the strong man. Okay. First, he said, we bind the strong man. Then he said, we plunder his goods. First in the Greek there meant in order of importance. In order of importance, we bind the strong man. So the strong man's house is the stronghold. The strong man's house is the stronghold. Let's talk about the strong man for a minute. I want to read from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. And the Bible says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a certain man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. Somebody say unclean spirit. And he cried out. Somebody say, he cried out. Okay. Saying, let us alone. Now, if the Bible is yours, I want you to underline where it says, and he cried out. Second, verse 24, he said, let us alone. I want you to underline the word us. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Underline the word we. Did you come to destroy us? Us, underline the word us. I know who you are, the Holy One of Israel. Did you see that? Okay, first here, somebody is talking. The Bible says he cried out. So somebody cried out here. And then it says, let us alone. So that means multiple people are now speaking, okay? Let us alone, for what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of Nazareth? And then the Spirit said, I know who you are. So at one time, there was multiple people speaking. And at this time, the Spirit said, I know who you are. That is the ruler demon that is speaking to Jesus. That is the strong man. The strong man spoke on behalf of all the other demons. So right away, when the Spirit says, we know who you are, right away Jesus would know, okay, I'm dealing with more than one spirit, which most times, rarely are you ever dealing with one demon. So here is the ruler demon speaking. I know who you are, okay? So let's look at some insights gained from this story. First of all, this chaos happened in the synagogue. It happened in the church. Are you following me this morning? Okay. And it was during anointed preaching and teaching that this manifestation took place. So that means that anointed teaching excites demons and they will always betray their presence. It was the anointing that he was speaking. He wasn't saying fire, fire, fire. He wasn't saying clap your hands. He wasn't saying lift up your voice. He was just talking to the people. And the anointing in his voice, the demons couldn't take it. People think they have to shout to get a manifestation. You don't have to shout. Teach the word. Tell somebody, teach the word. There's power in the word. He was talking. Okay, so there are two aspects to deliverance. Number one, it's casting a demon out of somebody. You know, MD, come out. That's aspect number one. The second aspect of deliverance is deliverance through the word of God. You know, some of you, you come to church. I'm using the stronghold again of alcoholism. You come to church and there's a stronghold in your life of alcoholism. Some of you, all you have to do is sit under teaching and hear, he came to set the captives free. He came to spoil principalities and powers and make a show openly. All you have to hear is, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And you walk out of church saying, I will never again drink alcohol. I'll never again have sex before marriage. I will never again pick up another cigarette. You got delivered, but nobody laid hands on you. That's what I want the church to understand. We don't have to put our hand on you. We don't have to put oil. It helps, but we don't have to do it. All we have to do is say, he came that you might be free and that you might be free indeed. And if you accept the word, deliverance will take place in your life. Somebody say, it's the word. Tell somebody, all I need is the word. That's all he did. Okay. So it was a truth encounter that affected the man. You need a truth encounter. Number four, a demonized person may be indwelt with a rank of demons. A rank of demons. Now, not all demons are on the inside. Some demons walk with you, but they are not in you. That's the difference between demonization and demon possession. So you can be spending a lot of time trying to cast something out that's not even in there. They walk with you. They can possess your flesh, but they cannot possess your spirit. Why? Because where the spirit of the Lord is, liberty. Okay? So these demons come on an assignment. Somebody say assignment. So they come with a specific assignment, which means if they're coming on an assignment, it means they can come and they can go as they please. But when you're possessed, they stay. This is my house. I'm not leaving. So if they can come and go, that means some demons come in seasons. Somebody say seasons. So I get this a lot. People will come into my office and they'll say, somebody said this to me the other day. She said, it always seems like I'm doing good throughout the year, but around October, November, my finances always collapse. You have a demon that has come in seasons. There are some people who they can be strong for 6 months out of the year, coming to church, being strong. I'm not sleeping with anybody. I'm spiritual. But it seems like every May I fall into sexual temptation. But if you don't check yourself and check your life, you won't even realize that it's a seasonal spirit that needs to be cast out. Okay, so they come in seasons. Number five, Demons want nothing to do with Jesus. We know this. They want nothing to do with Jesus. They have nothing in common with him. They don't want an open confrontation with either Jesus or those people who bear his authority. I want us to also understand something. I've touched on this before, but you have to understand, again, it's rank for rank in Satan's kingdom. You understand? There are certain spirits that me, myself, I would not deal with unless the Lord told me to do so. Certain principalities and powers. You know the story my husband told you when he went over the lake shore and he said that he saw the principality over Toronto. He said he went to bind it and the Lord said, don't try. Because it's rank for rank. So even the Lord understands rank. So the Lord said, just get in your car and go. So we have to understand that we can't just, Satan, I bind you. You have to be careful with what you're doing here. There are certain spirits that I would consider myself seasoned in deliverance ministry, but there are certain spirits where I've had to call my husband to deal with. I'll never forget the time I was trying to cast out a devil and he was in Holland. And I was spending all this time and I was binding and I was loosing and I was trying to get the demon out and it wouldn't go. And so I called him. First I texted him and I texted him. I said 911. So he called me back right away. And he said, what's going on? And I said, I'm trying to get this demon and I'm struggling so much. I'm telling you, I'm pouring water. I'm saying fire. I'm sweating. I'm tired. I'm yelling. I'm shouting. I'm rebuking. I'm doing everything. And he goes, put me on speakerphone. Very calmly, he goes, put me on speakerphone. So I put him on speakerphone, and he said, what is your name? And then the demon said his name. He said, what have you done? And the demon said what he's done. He said, come out. 2 hours MD. Somebody say rank for rank. You have to understand rank. And don't feel bad. MD, don't feel bad if you're dealing with a demon that doesn't want to come out. Because there are things that you might not understand right now. The person could be involved in serious witchcraft. The person could have occultic items in their house. Remember what I just taught you a few weeks ago. So the person could have given the demon legal ground to be in there. So you're spending hours saying, come out, fire, I bind you, and nothing is working. Why? And then the devil will begin to play with you and say, ah, but I thought you had power. You must not be praying enough. You must not be fasting enough. You're trying to do self-deliverance on yourself. It's not working. You see that person beside you? You see how the girl began to manifest as soon as he laid hands on, and when you lay hands, nothing happens. You have no power. That's the devil trying to play with you. You have power. You just might not have the understanding of what's happening in the person's life. So I'm not ashamed or intimidated to call my pastor if I can't deal with something. He has higher authority than me. Okay? So that's for you and the deliverance team. If you can't do it, call me. If I can't do it, I'll call my husband. If he can't do it, he'll call Bishop Salifu. You understand? That's the way it works. Okay, what number am I on? Six. Demons know who Jesus is, unlike the Pharisees, and they likewise recognize the anointed servants of the Lord. So demons know who we are, if you are truly anointed. I was casting a demon out of somebody before, and the demon said to me, we know who you are. You and your husband have been disturbing us with your prayers. Made me feel pretty good. That means our prayers are effective. The demon said to the seven sons of Sceva, now, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but you, who are you? We don't recognize you. Hell must know your name. And they must know you as a troubler in the Christian community. There's a story once, I love telling this story because I like stories where demons are afraid of Christians. There was a story of some missionaries in Europe, and there was a demon-possessed woman, many people were coming, and they were trying to cast the demon out of this woman, and nothing was working. So they said, let's call those missionaries who have come to preach the word. So they called the missionaries, and they said, as the missionaries were in, they were afar off, like miles away, but as they were walking towards this woman's house, the demons began to scream, the Christians are coming, the Christians are coming, the Christians, and they left before they got there. You should have enough power where before you even step on the scene, the demons flee. You got to have that kind of authority. Jesus said, in my name, they will cast out devils. Yes, but not every, just because you've given your life to Christ, it doesn't mean you carry that authority. You must understand the word. You must understand your rank. You must understand your power. You must understand the power of the blood. And you must know that when you bind a devil, you have authority and he shall be bound. But listen, you better get some sense and study the word. When God was taking me into deliverance ministry, he told me, Joanne, I want you to sit down and take a highlighter. If you go through my Bible, look at my Bible. You see all the purple. I don't know if you can see it. You see the purple? Anywhere in my Bible that you see purple, it means there's a demon or deliverance involved. And he told me, because when you get into deliverance, you're not going to have time to be rummaging through your Bible to read something to a demon. So he said, go through every scripture from Genesis to Revelation and highlight the way I dealt with a demon and the way I cast a demon out and copy everything that I do. That's how I learned demons and deliverance. So now, if I'm dealing with a spirit and I'm trying to find what the Bible says, I just look for purple. That's a good way to study your Bible. And just as a side note, anything you see in pink has to deal with the Holy Spirit, because those are my passions. I love the Holy Ghost. So I just know how to rummage through my Bible. Okay? Where was I? Number six. Number seven. Demons work together for a common evil. Christians don't understand that principle. Demons work together for a common evil, but Christians can't work together for a common good. Two ushers trying to work together for the King of Kings, and we cannot do it. But demons have the logic that, listen, if we're going to bring this Christian down, let's work together. They don't like each other, but they come together for a common purpose. But you and I, people in the church, we don't have that kind of understanding. Look at how the strong man in the scripture was protecting the others. What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, Son of the Most High? Have you come to torment us? So the strong man was worried about his friends, but not us in the church. So demons come together for a common evil. Okay, so as I said, they come together and the strong man is the gatekeeper, okay? He garrisons the stronghold and he stations troops to guard. I wish I had time to explain this. Let me try this here. MD, you come. I need a few people. Give me like five people. Anybody. Come on up. Dagmar, Robin, you come. Okay, so MD, my friend, is the strong man, okay? So the strong man is the keeper of this stronghold. Let's say the stronghold is fear, okay? So one of the top strongholds is the spirit of fear. Somebody say the spirit of fear. Okay, so MD is the strong man. So me as the deliverance minister, or you doing self-deliverance, okay?
So you're binding. I bind every demon. I bind every spirit. I come against this demon. And then, so the first spirit that will manifest will be the spirit of insecurity, which falls under the spirit of fear. The spirit of insecurity. So MD is the strong man. So the strong man pushes the spirit of insecurity. And so I'm the deliverance minister, and I say, what is your name? And the spirit says, my name is insecurity. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. The spirit goes so easy, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. So then the strong man pushes the next spirit, which is rejection, which falls under the spirit of fear. So I say, what is your name? And the spirit says, my name is rejection. I say, spirit of rejection, out! I don't even have to say in the name of Jesus. Out, like MD. What is your name? My name is anorexia and bulimia, which falls under the spirit of fear. Spirit of anorexia, out! So you have, it's been 2 hours, and you're thinking to yourself, these spirits are coming out very easy. I'm doing a very good job. But Jesus said what? Bind. The strong man is wise. He will put all the little ones ahead of him. But as long as the strong man is here, as soon as the deliverance is over, come back in. Everybody come back in. So then the next day you go back to the deliverance minister and you think, I thought this church had power. Or you look at the person and they say, not only does the strong man say come back in, but Matthew chapter 12 says he brings in seven more. Seven times worse than him. So now you're worse than you were before and you think the church had no power. It's not that. Jesus said, bind the strong man. He said, you cannot overcome unless you first get the strong man and plunder his goods. Do you understand what I'm saying? I always see Robin kind of, he's kind of like the strong man at my husband's door. Because, you know, my husband will say he's not seeing anybody, or he'll tell MD, close my door. But Robin will go to somebody and he'll be like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Am I lying? Am I lying, MD? He'll say, it's okay. Dagma's always fighting with him about that. He'll say, it's okay, it's okay. You can come in. And he opens the door and lets you in. He's the stronghold. You can sit down. Thank you. So you have got to do what? You've got to bind the strong man. That's why Jesus said, he said, what is your name? What is your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. Okay, so that's your name. Now you can come out. You will save a lot of time, MD, in deliverance if you just call the strong man. When you call out the strong man, all the little ones come out with them. Am I helping you today? I learned this the hard way one time. I did deliverance, I think it was about 5 hours. I was doing deliverance on this person, you know, and I, you know, the demons were coming out so easy. I was feeling real good. I was real young. I was maybe about 22 or something, and the demons were coming out real easy, and I just come out, and then the one, it would come out screaming. And then I would say, out, and then it would come out screaming. I would say, fire, and then it would come out screaming. I had a partner with me. She said, oh, she said, I got to go. I got to pick up my kids. I said, yeah, go, go, go. I got this. Out. And so I didn't understand the strong man or anything like that. So all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed. I was casting out, casting out, casting out. And then the strong man appeared. So all of a sudden, you know, the demons were so, like, they would come out like this. They would, the woman would put up her hands and surrender, and where they would hide their faces from my fire. But then all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed, and the woman did like this. She was tapping her feet like this, like she was bored. And I said, out! And then the spirit said, that doesn't work for me, man. And I said, ouch! And he said, I told you, that doesn't work for me. And I said, in the name of my God, he said, your God is too busy for this. And I was thinking, why did I let that girl go? I need help now. And then he said, listen, he said, I'm too strong for you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm too strong for you. That's when I realized I was dealing with the ruler spirit. If I had dealt with that spirit originally, the deliverance would have been 5 minutes. Now, some deliverance does take that long. But so she said, I'm too strong for you. I'm not going anywhere. And I said, I agree with you. You are too strong for me. And I said, but I come in a name. And then her whole demeanor changed. And she said, don't say it. Don't you dare say it. And I said, I come in a name that is above every other name. And then the spirit was from Trinidad. So the spirit said, don't suffer me that word. Don't suffer me that one. Don't suffer me that. I hate that name. So I said, in the name of
Jesus.
And then the spirit came out and the deliverance was over. So I realized at that time, a ruler spirit responds to more rank, power, and authority. Are you hearing me today? There was a story in, I'm from Kitchener. A pastor came to a church in Kitchener, and it was somewhat of a white church, but there was a woman in the church, but the demon that she was possessed with was from Jamaica. And this was a church that wasn't used to demons or deliverance, right? So the pastor, the guest pastor, was preaching, and then the demon manifested, and the pastor said, come out in the name of Jesus. And this white woman said, me not going nowhere, mama. Say, me been here a long time. The pastor ran out of the church, and all the elders followed behind. The church was cleared out. The pastor was telling me that. The spirit said, Missy, me been here a long time. The pastor herself was telling me that. She said, Joanne, the whole church cleared out, and it was me alone standing in the church. The pastor himself was, I'm gone. Can a white woman be speaking patois like that? Where was I? I'm out of time, right, Ashley? Okay, let me quickly close this here. Number 9, realize that Jesus was by no means embarrassed by the interruption. Okay, didn't bother him at all. We might be preaching or teaching sometime, and there might be an interruption or anything like that. Just be calm about it. You don't have to feel any kind of way. Don't be embarrassed. Don't get upset with the person. Just deal with it and move on. Okay. Number 10. The object is not to get the demon to speak, but to cast the demon out. Jesus would ask a demon what his name is, but the Bible also said, and when the demons tried to speak, the Bible says he would not allow some of them to speak, because the testimony of a demon is never valid. Remember, they come from the father of lies. So and the goal of a demon is to stay in the person. So a demon will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And say, well, I came in 1963, and I came in because of this and this and this and this and this, and might never be telling you the truth. So you need to rely on the Holy Spirit and not on the word of the demon, okay? Where am I here? 11? Okay. Yes, that the object is not to get the demon to speak. MD, if I can use you just as an example here. Somebody told me this when you were doing deliverance, and it's a very good teaching example. They said that while you were doing deliverance, they could hear the demon speaking. It was as if they were speaking, but they could hear the demon speaking. And when they fell to the ground and they were convulsing, because that's what demons do. And if you want a show, demons will give you a show. If you want the shaking, that's why you have some churches sometimes where that's all you ever see is just shaking and rolling and screaming, but nobody ever gets delivered. If you want a show, demons will give you a show. As long they don't mind creating a scene, as long as they are not dealt with. So you'll see people screaming and shaking and falling to the ground, but they'll get up exactly the same way that they fell, unless you take time to deliver them. Now, we don't have time to do it in every service, because deliverance can take time. So that's why we say CMD after service. But demons will give you a show every time. That's why sometimes in a service, you have to tell them to shut up, because they like attention too. So the person fell to the ground and was convulsing. And then she said to me, she said, I heard the spirit in me talking about MD saying, you wait, you'll get tired in a minute. When you get tired, you'll think I'm gone. I'm just going to be quiet and wait for you to get tired. So the person said to me, she said, so I just felt calm all of a sudden and I wasn't manifesting anymore. So in MD's mind, the deliverance had occurred because she's calm now. So he got her up and said, okay, go home. But MD is a prayerful man. So I know afterward, MD then, I think a day or two later, went to the woman and said, you are not delivered. Come back and see me. But you need that discernment, or else the spirit will fool you into thinking you've been delivered when you have not been delivered. Just because you fall at the altar doesn't mean deliverance has taken place. I used to feel insecure when I laid hands on people and they didn't fall, until I came to the understanding that even if they fall, doesn't mean anything happened. Some people fall on purpose. But if they stay standing, but deliverance takes place, isn't that a better testimony? So don't judge a person's power by how much they fall or how many people scream when they're preaching. That does not mean power. Power means when you step on the scene and say, come out, will the demon respond? Am I teaching you this morning? Okay. Remember this. This is so important. Please write it down. The remedy to the flesh is to crucify it. The remedy to a demon is you cast it out. Don't try and cast out your flesh and crucify the demon. I'm going to say that again. The remedy to the flesh is you crucify the flesh. The remedy to a demon is you cast a demon out. Don't try to cast out the flesh and crucify the demon, because you've messed it up. You understand? You have people who are addicted to TV, for example, and they'll come and they'll say, you know, I bind that demon, you know, I bind that lazy spirit. Just crucify your flesh. Turn off the TV. Not everything is a demon. We have to understand that. We don't look for demons under every green tree. There are prayer issues and then there are wisdom issues. Some of your issues in life are wisdom issues. Don't pick up the phone and call him. Don't go to his house at 11 o'clock on Saturday night. You know you're going to fall. So don't fall and then get up and say, I bind the spirit of lust. Crucify the flesh. Close your legs. It's a wisdom issue. Oh, you don't want to hear me this morning, Miracle. Somebody say there's prayer issues and then there is wisdom issues. Okay. Number 9. Jesus dealt with the demon, not the man. You guys need to highlight, underline that. Fighting people all the time for no reason. Deal with the demon, not the person. He cast the demon out of the man. He did not cast the man out of the church. Number 10, Demons always resist coming out. That's a given. I don't know what number I'm on, okay? I dealt with this already. Jesus rebuked the spirit for speaking. Demons can be permitted to speak, or they can be kept from speaking if you have the authority over them to do so. And I wish I had time, but we'll do that another day. We'll do it another day. If my husband is too tired tonight, then maybe I'll continue. But if not, then we'll continue. It's a very important subject, and I really wanna pull it apart. It's not something that you should even teach in one session. We have to take our time, and I would love to answer your questions as well. So if he's too tired tonight, either way, be here at 5:00. It'll be powerful either way, because he's gonna teach on it anyway. So one or both of us can answer your questions tonight at 5:00, okay? What I really wanna do is I wanna deal with the 12 strong men spirits, which we're gonna deal with another day. Okay, there. You know, we went through the three generals: Jezebel, death and hell, and Antichrist. And then there are 12 major spirits that fall under them. I talked about the spirit of fear; that was one of them, and all the little demons that come along with them: insecurity, rejection, anorexia, those kinds of things. If we can identify the strong man, then I'm telling you, by the end of this year, you guys will be walking in total freedom and liberty. Amen. Were you blessed by the service this morning? Stand to your feet if you would. Lift up your two hands. I want everybody to close their eyes and every head bowed. And, you know, deliverance is ineffective without Christ. So I want to talk to somebody here today who, you know, maybe you've walked with God at one time in the past and you've slipped away, you've fallen out of grace. You know, if you are in need of deliverance in your life and you know that you need Jesus, I just want you to lift your hands in the air, just high in the air. Those of you who I'm not talking to, if you would just put your hands down for a moment. But if keeping your eyes closed, if you are here today and you say, Jesus, I need you. You know, a demon will never leave. We can spend 18 hours binding and loosing and rebuking. If you have not given your life to Jesus, a demon will stay and remain because he has legal authority to be there. The only time a demon has no authority and can be put out of your life is if you belong to Christ. So if you are here today and you don't know if you died today, if Jesus belongs to you, or you know you need deliverance, but you know that Christ is not Lord over your life, I want you to lift up your hand. This is why we are here. This is why we have come, that you might be free and free indeed. This is the most powerful deliverance anybody will ever go through. I mean that. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life today. I need more of you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I acknowledge that I need your grace. I ask that you come into my life. Save me. Deliver me. I declare this day that I am born again. Now to every demon and devil that has troubled my life, that has troubled my flesh, that has troubled my mind, that has troubled my house, today I put you out as having no legal ground and no legal authority. I command you in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Visit our online bookstore and get an in-depth look at the teachings of Prophet Kofi Danso with titles such as The Mantle of Honor, Adonijah Must Die, or Kingdom Keys. Audio CDs are also available. For more information, visit miraclearena.ca or call 1-800-807-7617. God bless you. Miracle Arena is taking the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the nations of the world through your generous support. The gospel is free, but the logistics are costly. We are therefore asking that you consider becoming a monthly partner or plant a one-time seed to spread the good news to the nations of the world. Should you choose to do so, you will be placed on our miracle prayer list and you will receive a personal prophecy from Prophet Kofi Donso. Please call 1-800-807-7617 or visit miraclearena.ca and make a donation now. The hour has come. The set time for liberation is here. Experience the power of God. Join thousands in worship. Every Tuesday, impartation service at 7 p.m. Thursday, financial breakthrough service at 10 a.m. Friday, all-night service at 10 p.m. And Miracle Sunday services. First service at 9 a.m. Second at 11 a.m. And a prophetic healing service at 5 p.m. For more information, call 1-800-807-7617 or visit miraclearena.ca. Miracle Arena for all nations, revolutionizing the world for Jesus.